Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Mixtape. I'm so happy that you're here with me this week. I have a special love for this time of year in New Hampshire. I think we have the coolest artists that come visit us from all over the country, all over the world, and just is a really special time in New Hampshire. We have amazing weather, we have great festivals, we have local live music, and we get to have really cool concerts. So coming soon to New Hampshire, actually in three different places, we have Gaelic Storm. And this week's guest is Patrick Murphy from Gaelic Storm, who's going to share with us a little bit about what he's up to and some of the good things that they have to look forward to later this year. I hope you enjoy our conversation. Good morning and welcome to Mixtape with Bonnie. Today I've got Patrick from Gaelic Storm here. Welcome, Patrick.
Hello, Bonnie. How are you?
Good, thank you. So I'm really excited that you're here to chat with me this morning and share a little bit about what y'all are up to. I know you're kicking off your June tour in just a couple days. So tell us a little bit about what we can expect from you guys out here on the road.
Well, we've been doing it for, this is our 27th year full time. So we've done over nearly 4,000 shows, as far as I know. And we actually leave tomorrow for upstate New York. We got a couple of shows in New York and then a couple in Massachusetts, a couple in Connecticut, and got a couple in Maine. And then we have three shows in New Hampshire. So beautiful part of the country. Looking forward to it. What to expect? Well, we usually play for 2 hours. We do an hour set, intermission, and then an hour. And we always sign after the show. We don't charge fans for meet and greets. We've been doing that since day one. I think that's it's important to go and just say thank you to whoever wants to say hello and take photographs. And it's a high energy show. It's a very family oriented show. And I got to mute this computer. Texts are coming in. It's a very high energy show. It's very family oriented too. I was telling somebody last week that you could have a 4-year-old in the audience having a good time and a 94-year-old person in the audience having a good time. It spans all generations and all age groups. And it's just like teenagers. If teenagers listen to us, they don't like, you know, pop artists. They're just like Gaelic Storm. We've got young adults. And it's amazing to see the age range when you go into the audience and see that. I think it's a testament to the music.
That's awesome. So it's really interesting that you mentioned the diversity of the audience, because I think that's my favorite part of shows like yours, is that it brings that crowd from, hey, I know I can bring my kids, to, hey, my mom or my grandfather might want to come with me as well and really enjoy that. And I love that you go, I did read about you all really talking about your fans and how important they are to you, because, you know, and then there's things that you do, like what you just mentioned, right? That meet and greet, or going out and being able to say hello and take pictures, etc. The theater that you'll be at, I know all the spaces that you'll be at in New Hampshire, but the theater that you're going to be at in New Hampshire has been around since like the late 1800s, and has had all kinds of famous acts there. So I was talking to somebody about, I had seen Colin Hay there a couple months ago, and I mentioned to somebody that this about the theater, and like, oh, that theater has had all kinds of interesting stuff there. So it's a beautiful theater. It has those pretty opera boxes on the sides and everything like that. Yeah. So I'm sure it'll be filled with all kinds of fun families and stuff like that. So you mentioned that you've got over 4,000 shows, which, I mean, that's huge, right? And you've been doing this for 27 years full time. How do you stick around for 27 years and keep bringing the energy that you all do to these shows?
Well, the thing, you know, with all the various albums we have, I think we've got like 15 or 16. I've actually lost track of how many albums we have. We did a couple during the pandemic, because we all live in different parts of the country. So Steve, the guitar player, would lay down a basic track and he'd send it to the drummer, and the drummer would put on the drums. Then they'd email it to me. So the technology was amazing that we didn't even have to go into a studio like the old days. So we just keep trying to, when we write an album, we try and just push the envelope just a little bit. But then if we go too far with it, we bring it back a bit and kind of go, that's too much of a different sound from Gaelic Storm. So, like, you know, you think like U2 has their own particular sound, but they always just tweak it a little bit. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And then sometimes they might go too far with, I think, Zooropa, they went way too far with that, and people didn't like the album at all because it was, that's not your song. But you have to try and change it a little bit to try and stay relevant. And I think that, you know, we're coming to Laconia for the first time. And just like you mentioned, there's a beautiful theatre there. You go to some of the smaller towns across the nation. Some of the smaller towns have the most beautiful theatres. I specifically love that when, you know, that to keep those places open requires a lot of funding. It requires a lot of volunteers to keep the place open. And I love going into the smaller towns and seeing how proud they are of keeping these places open, because you could easily just knock it down and turn it into, well, it ain't paradise, put up a parking lot. So
exactly.
We've been to all the 50 states, and my wife started keeping a map of all the places we've played. And some places, like all the little towns, and the map on the East Coast was just getting packed with pins, so we had to take them out. And if you played New York City 10 times, it got a red pin. Anything over 10 times got a red pin, and it once was a white pin. But it's amazing to think that we have been doing it for 27 years. We just try to put out music, try to keep it fresh, and then we'll do some old ones. So we did a lot of cover songs during the pandemic, and people really enjoyed that. And we can always do that. We just try and put a bit of a pop influence in somewhere, or a country reference in somewhere. So, and then as the guys who write the songs, I kind of help out a little bit, but the two main guys who write the songs, it's amazing to watch them just sit down and 2 hours later, they've got the better part of a song. It's just amazing to see the way their wheels turn. And then it's my job to deliver them. So it's great. It's been a fantastic process, in fairness, after. And we've all, you know, we all have families and we're all married, and, you know, we've got, you know, it's been fantastic to us. You know, we've got houses, and, you know, it's been great.
Someplace to go to after you're done, because y'all are going to be out there. You have June, and then I saw that you have September and shows up through November. So you will have a place to return to when all this is done.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. July, you get all the summer festivals.
Mm-hmm.
And Alaska for the first time in 22 years. That's in July, so that's different. And then we just came back from, we were down in Mexico in January, so we could just go all over the place. And the music just takes, it's, as I said, it's an easy booking for the venues, because it is, you're not going, you know, it's not just all young adults going to see, it's a complete range of, like you said, everyone can go to the show.
Right, cool. So then you mentioned all these places that you've been. Do you have a particular place that you love to go back to and perform?
Wisconsin is our biggest market. So there's a, I can't say Laconia because I haven't been there. So there is one beautiful place up in northern Wisconsin called Bayfield. Mm-hmm. And it's near the Apostle Islands. And it's an old three ring circus tent.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm.
Once in the weather, you're up, it's just beautiful. It's right there on Lake, I think that's Lake Superior up there. I think it is. And it's just, we go up there every August and we just kind of hang out there for a few days and just relax in the temperature. The weather would be pretty similar to New Hampshire, I'd say, in the,
mm-hmm.
60s, low 70s, no humidity. Just beautiful, beautiful scenery. So, and the venue's great. And there's a great atmosphere in the circus tent, because sometimes Gaelic storm is a circus.
That's amazing. I think that's like the first video that I had seen you all do. It was a long time ago. Was on a stage under a tent, and I thought, oh, that looks like so much fun. I became a big fan. So having said that, and I don't know that the weather's going to be the same. Like, it's pretty warm and humid here right now in New Hampshire, which is unseasonably interesting. But yeah. What about songs? Do you have a favorite song that y'all get to play when you're out? That you're like, this one kills it every time.
I think it's off the first album. It's called Johnny Jump Up. I like to sing that because it's from my hometown.
Oh.
And it's a local song. And people tend to like that one a lot. And then there's one song, I think we've played it every night, and it's we never get sick of it. It's just a children's song. It's called Tell Me Ma. It's usually the encore. It gets everybody up and dancing. And the reason why that's so popular is that it's just basically a children's song from, you know, rope jumping from the north of Ireland. And it's just a simple, simple, easy, simple song. And it just gets everyone dancing. And no matter how many times we play it, we just don't get sick of it.
People get excited. That's awesome. So you just mentioned your hometown. Where are you from originally? Because I know you're probably not from Maryland originally.
I'm originally from Cork, Cork City. That's down the south. Oh, okay. So yeah, Dublin is the capital. Although most people think that Cork is the capital. We pretend it's the capital. We call it the real capital. The Dublin capital, that's in the east. Cork is in the south. Galway is on the west. And then Belfast is up the north. So yeah. So it's about, I'd say about 500,000 people. When I left there in 1992, and it was about 250,000 people. And I'd say it's about 500,000 people now. Yeah, it's really after that.
Yeah, for sure. So is there any other people in your band that are from over there as well? Or are they all from this area?
So Steve Twigger is the guitar player and the major songwriter. So he's originally from Coventry in England. And then Pete, or bagpiper, is from Ottawa, Canada. And we have a new fiddle player, Natalia. She's from Lowell, Massachusetts, actually. And Ryan Lacey, our drummer, is originally from California. So we're from all over the place. Canada, Massachusetts, Ireland, England, you know, California.
Yep, and getting everybody excited about doing this. So in the type of genre in the music that you play, are there particular musical influences that that you have when you're writing a song or playing a song, or what influences the band that in this particular genre of music?
Well, so songs are written in the traditional vein, I'd say. And we generally start off by the guys who write the songs, then Steve will try to put the music to it, and he will try and keep it in the traditional way. Okay. Or like there's like the Clancy brothers, Tommy Makem, and then I'd say that would be the major influence. There's a band called the Saw Doctors. They just make live, fun, lively songs about stuff that we can all relate to. So we try to write a few funny songs, and of course there's the love songs. But we put down the traditional bass, and then the drummer will try and make it a bit kind of more modern. And like I said, we'll push the envelope, listen to it, and go, no, okay, that's gone too far. Then Steve, he likes a lot of, like the, Ryan Lacey, the drummer, I'd say he's definitely, himself and Steve are the two major influencers when they, like they will just sit down and just bang out a different beat and just jam and see where it goes and just jam for like different, okay, let's try 4/4, let's try 6/8, let's try 9/8. And they'll just jam in different keys and they'll listen back and go, that sounds a bit like one of our new songs sounds a bit like The Jam. You know, The Jam, the English band, Town Call Alice. Oh, Malice, sorry. Yeah. So there's, it's that kind of dun 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 dun. And stick a song to that about an Irish guy walking down the street.
That's great. That's great. So I found some interesting facts on the internet. Well, they're, I got it from the internet. I don't know if they're facts or not. So I'm going to run them by you. You can tell our listeners and which ones are true, which ones aren't. So we'll play a little game of fact check. Does that sound good?
Yes. Let's go.
I always find these interesting because it may be 100% right. It may be absolutely wrong. So it's fun to kind of to do that fact checking thing, I think, for people who look up, who are fans of yours, to go up looking for information about you on the internet, is that true or not, right? So so there's I haven't, seven
this,
of
this is ahead. A new one, so well done.
Okay, cool. So I try to keep it fresh and interesting. So there's at least seven of them, and it says the source was your website. So we'll see how this goes. So the first one is that the Gaelic Storm was the band that performed Irish Party in Third Class during the scene in the 1997 blockbuster film Titanic. Is that true or false?
That is true.
Awesome. That's super cool. How'd you all get hooked up with that?
They saw us playing at an Irish festival, and then we had to audition, and then they came down to we were playing in a pub called O'Brien's, and they brought down a camera crew, and they videotaped just a regular show on a Sunday night, and they saw the atmosphere. It was in a back room, a dingy pub room. But we knew they were coming down, so we called every single person we knew, and we had the place packed. And we told them, listen, we might be in a movie called Titanic, so do not be on your best behavior. Have as much fun as you can, all right? So let's make this place rowdy and happy and fun. So they taped that, brought it back to James Cameron, and James Cameron was like, that's it. That's what we're looking for. And then we recorded the music. We were told what to play. It had to be all, you know, pre-1912. And so we did that in the studio, in Sony Studios. And then a couple of weeks later, they were like, why are we using actors? Why don't we just get the band? So we got a call. Can you come down to Mexico for 2 weeks? And I told my boss, and he was like, well, if you leave, you don't have your job. And I was like, all right, well, I guess I quit, because I'm going to Mexico to shoot this movie with. And when I came back, he was like, all right, you got your job back. How was it? So we shot it down in Mexico. That was in 1996. And then it came out in 1997.
That's awesome. That's a great story. That's a great story. All right. The next one is, the previously unreleased song Irish Party in Third Class is featured on your album Full Irish, the greatest hits album.
That is true as well. We just had to re-record it, because in the movie, what they did was they took three or four of the instrumental songs and mushed them all together. So we just went back and we recorded them in the correct order, because a lot of the songs were edited and cut and snipped. And so we just went back and re-recorded the songs in the particular order that it was supposed to be in.
Oh, cool. All right. So your band got its humble start performing inside a pub in Santa Monica, California, where you were a bartender.
Yeah, I was the manager there for about 2 years. So we had no entertainment on Sunday. So I just said to the band, we can just do a regular, we can use it as a rehearsal. But like when we first started in, we'd been playing around LA in different coffee shops and just, you know, just doing something on a Friday for a bit of fun. A couple of pubs here, some down San Diego. And then we just started playing every Sunday in the bar that I managed. And there were times there was like three or four people in the audience, and you'd sing a song and you go, okay, let's do that again. And we'd sing that song again. People were like, cool, paying attention. So, but then word got out that Sunday night was pretty fun down in this particular bar. And then by Sunday night, by a couple of months into it, and then by the end of the year, like Friday was packed. Saturday would be packed because it was on the beach. Mm, and it was all Sunday. Sunday just became the busiest day of the whole week. We were making more money on Sunday than we were on Friday. And then once Titanic came out, and then once people found out that this is the actual band from Titanic, you couldn't get in. You couldn't get in. There was a line around the corner to get in on a Sunday night. So I would finish the show and then put on my shirt and tie and go back behind the bar and bartend and shut the place down and do inventory.
That's how we make it happen, though, right? So that's a really great, I think that's a really great point for anybody who's like, I guess I can just ask you the question. So then what advice would you give to somebody who's in that grind right now where they're like, we're never going to make it, or I really want to be a rock star?
Well, I mean, it certainly wasn't anything. It wasn't anything that I anticipated or intended on doing. It was to be for fun. I was working in that bank when we got the part. Then I quit that. Then I became the manager of the bar. And then I was just like, look, just let's just get a regular gig. And then, but when I was working at that bank and we had the opportunity to go full time a year or two later, and my dad said, I call my dad, say, hey, what do you think? I have a steady job at the bank. What should I do? What do you think? You know, it's got insurance and, you know, it's got a 401k and stuff like that. And it was a good job. And I was going to school at night for finance. And my dad said to me, look, give it a shot, the band, just give it a shot. And I was surprised because I thought he'd say, look, don't be foolish. You got a good job. No, he was like, look, give it a shot. And if you get 6 months out of it, you've done well. And he said, if you get a year out of it, you've beaten all the odds. All right. And he said, you can always go back to a bank. You're not going to get this opportunity again. And he said, you don't want to be my age and go, Jesus, why didn't I try it? Give it a shot. And if it works, it works. And if it doesn't, it doesn't. But you don't want to be 84 and go, ugh, why didn't I try it? So, like, in other words, if I hadn't said to my boss at that bank, hey, I need 2 weeks off. And if you can't give it to me, I'm quitting anyway. So if I had just stuck with the job, I wouldn't be talking to you. I wouldn't be going to Laconia. But give it a shot. Just keep at it.
I love that. I love that it happened so pretty much organically for you. You're doing what you needed to do. You had a passion for music and were pursuing that, but also the reality of, okay, so let's keep it real, that this might not work out. And that your father supported that in that way. Because I think I would try to do that for my children. Should they say, hey, I need to go off and do this. But not everybody does. So that's great advice. Good for you. All right. Couple more. The band has topped the Billboard World Chart 4 times.
Seven.
Seven. That's amazing.
We need to update our website.
Let's see. You and Steve Twigger are the only two original members from 96.
Correct, yes.
Okay.
And then, so Ryan's been in the band. So we went full-time in 98. I think the drummer at the time, he quit in 2001. So Ryan's been in the band a long time. So we consider him to be, very close to being an original member. And then Pete's been in the band. He's been in the band like 18 or 19 years. So we've been around, the core four have been around a long time.
So, and now you have Natalia, right, who joined you?
She just joined 2 years ago. The other previous fiddle players got married, kids. It's just the life on the road is too tough with kids. You couldn't do it unless you're super famous.
And then let's see. Oh, well, I can ask you a question about Steve. So before returning to music, Steve earned an art degree and worked as an art director, graphic designer, and an illustrator.
That is correct, too. He got his degree in London, then moved over to LA and started working there up in Hollywood. And then I met him in the pub. I met him in that bar. He was a block away. So he was one of the first customers. He walked in the door. Everybody was asking for things. You know, it was a big place. We had like 35 employees. People coming in, always asking for stuff all the time. You know, salespeople. Just everybody asking. Steve came in and gave a nice welcome to the neighborhood Guinness poster in a beautiful old frame. And he just goes, here, thanks. I live around the corner. I can actually stagger to the pub and stagger home. So that's how I met Steve. Like, oh, fair enough.
That's great. Well, that's the end of my true and false. But so then that brings me to kind of the end of the true and false questions off the internet. So if I were to ask you something for you that you're looking forward to or your band is looking forward to in 2024, what is that? Something exciting coming up?
Well, the trip to Alaska is just, you know, it's, we're bringing all the families because it's, you know, it's basically on, you forget how big Alaska is, it's basically on the other side of the world. So it's a massive journey. So we're, all the guys with kids, we're bringing the kids up there and it's going to be the family vacation. So I'm actually flying into Vancouver and taking a cruise up to Anchorage with my wife and kids and going through the various songs and whale watching. And we just booked our excursion on a seaplane to fly over the glaciers and land on.
Super cool.
So, you know, it's not very often. I did it 22 years ago, but now I get to do it with the wife and kids. And so that's something looking forward to. And, you know, I'm not just saying this because it's New Hampshire, but New Hampshire is just so beautiful. I'm playing up in Maine. And there's a beautiful place in Maine called Booth Bay Harbor. And mm-hmm. We got a day off somewhere and just sit back and relax and enjoy the scenery and smell the roses. And in the summer, you know, again, we've been at it for so long that we're actually starting to wind it down because we're not getting younger. Backs are sore and elbows are sore and arthritis in the hands and just wanted to kind of just wind it down slowly but surely and kind of cherry pick some of the festivals. And we got some breaks during the summer, all on purpose, and we're just going to the beach. We're going out to Disney World and with the kids, and it should be a relatively easy year, despite, you know, whatever 100 shows, but it's all been good. It's all been very good to us.
That's awesome. Yeah. That is a great way to end this. I'm so happy that, well, first of all, the trip to Alaska sounds amazing. Being able to get on a cruise and go with your kids and your wife, right? And have that experience. Yeah. But then also to be out there with the people that you've been with for so long and be able to have that journey together and have those memories and build that for 2024 sounds pretty awesome too. So,
yeah, all the kids are great friends as well. They all love hanging out. They really do.
That's awesome. Yeah, that totally makes it worth it too, right? That they know they're going to get together with their cousins. So
yeah, they're cousins from no relatives at all, but kind of like cousins. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's awesome, Patrick. I'm so glad that we got to chat today. I'm totally looking forward to seeing you. I'll see you in 2 weeks in Laconia on the 16th, and then our radio station is in Portsmouth, so I may pop in. You guys are going to be over at 3S Art Space, which is right around the corner from us, and I think that's it. So I'm just really happy that we got to meet today, and I look forward to seeing you guys in a couple of weeks.
All right. Fantastic, Bonnie. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Have a great day. Drive safe. See you in a few.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining me this week on Bonnie's Mixtape. Bonnie's Mixtape is specially curated music and conversations with musicians and other artists to offer insight into the world of art and creativity. You can find out more about Bonnie's Mixtape at www.bonniesmixtape.com and also at WSCA Radio, www.wscafm.org.